Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And just kind of pausing a little bit till the little ones are going downstairs. I do want to thank you all for your prayers through what my family and my brother Scotty are going through right now. I really appreciate it, and the different ones that have been praying for sure and then contacted me and giving me some encouragement. It's been great, and Scott's doing a little bit better than what he was a couple of days ago. But nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's too hard for God. But this is kind of hard for us. I see him going through this, but he's teaching me. He's teaching me through this. I know he's the multitasker. This hymn that Andrew just called Trust in Jesus. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. And it's a real storm I'm going through myself. And the Lord is working. We're going to be continuing in Mark's Gospel, and we finished up chapter 4 the last time I spoke, but I want to revisit the end of chapter 4. That was when the Lord Jesus took him through, the disciples went through a storm. And I really learned a lot. I really relied a lot on this as I'm going through the storm in my life right now. So we'll start there in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and then we're going to read chapter 5 through verse 20, and that'll be hopefully the scriptures that we cover. I'm going to read it from the New King James, and it'll start on page 1015 in this Bible, if anybody wants to follow along. I'm going to read it in the New King James, but I will be using my King James Bible. Let us pray. We can't do anything without God's help. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to live in a country that we can freely open the Word of God. We thank you for the Word of God, that you would give us the Word of God. And we, here in this country, we're so thankful that we not yet are persecuted for the Word of God here in this country. A little bit, I guess, but other countries, the Word of God's even banned. We think of the believers in these countries, but yet they're still going on, even with fear of persecution. We thank you that it still hasn't come that way here. So we thank you to live in this country where we can freely open the Word of God, that you would give us the Word of God. And our prayer, Father, today is that we would believe God, that we would take it to heart and esteem this as it truly is the Word of God. May it be, thus saith the Lord. May we as a church be built up. Father, I pray that if any are here today and they don't know you, O God, as their Savior, I pray today would be the day they would know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I pray, Father, that our Lord Jesus would be magnified, lifted up. I pray all this in his name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let us start in Mark's Gospel, verse 35, and I'll read through to chapter 5, verse 20. This is the Word of God. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And as always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding, that's pigs, was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who saw it told them how it happened, and to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him, that's Jesus, to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. And however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and they marveled. Lord, bless the reading of the Word of God. As we're in Mark's Gospel, I know we've been going through Mark's Gospel. I don't have time to review it all, but I do want to say that Mark chapter 3, if you turn back to chapter 3, you're going to see we're in a section where the Lord Jesus says in chapter 3, verse 13, that he went up into a mountain and called unto him who he would, and they came to him, and he ordained the 12, this is 3:14, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. So he called these 12 to be with him, and he was going to send them out. And our Lord Jesus, he said in John's Gospel, I think he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am going to send you." So this is important for us, this lesson that he's going to teach us, because it goes to chapter 6, verse 6, and verse 7, I'm sorry. He called, chapter 6, verse 7, he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth, two by two. He gave him power over unclean spirits. And so we have this from end of chapter 3, chapter 4, 5, to the beginning of chapter 6. This is a time when his disciples were with him. He was teaching them things so that then he could send them out. Okay, if we want to do a work for God, if we want to go, we need to be with the Lord, spend time with him and learn. He's going to teach very valuable lessons that the disciples are going to have to understand. The first thing he talked about was the opposition to this work in chapter 3. And the opposition was, not only was it the religious people who called Jesus Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, and they were against the work, but even his own friends and family were hindering him. They not for wrong motives. They were like saying, "Oh, come on, Jesus, you're doing too much here. You're a little crazy here, and people are calling you crazy." And so we can see they had to learn that not only there'll be opposition, even your own family and friends might try to hinder you from going and doing the work. How many people have gone and called to the mission field to go somewhere, and their parents are like, "No, we want you home. We don't want you to go there," or whatever, they're hindering. And so he's teaching us that. Then he talks about the Word of God and the different responses. The Word uses a seed. The Word of God is good. The seed was good. So why doesn't everybody believe it? Why doesn't it work? Well, he goes and explains that there's four responses to the Word of God. And he talks about that. So we can understand that. Why don't people believe God's Word? Well, there's deceitfulness of riches. There's cares of the world. There's some of them hear it with joy, and they're like, this sounds great, until they get some, maybe their friends or family make fun of them or something, and then they go away. Others, it speaks about the word going forth, and the birds of the air, which is Satan, the devil, comes and steals the word. You know, even today, as we're hearing the word of God, there's going to be distractions. Satan doesn't want you to hear the word of God. Don't let him steal the word from you. But he's teaching us that these things are going to happen to you. You know, and he's teaching us. And we see in Mark's gospel a lot of the demonic activity. And we're going to be looking at that, especially in chapter 5. And he wants us to understand there's an enemy out there. And I think even the storm the enemy brought on, I'll explain why. And we need to understand that. He is not, the enemy, the evil one, is not some cartoon character with a pitchfork. He would like you to think that. He would like you to make believe he doesn't exist, but he's real. We need to understand that. He is the enemy. Your enemy, he is the enemy of God and everything that's of God. And we'll look at his characteristics and stuff. So this brings us to this. I want to look at this storm again. We did look at this, but I just want to bring out a couple points as we look at this, that what we can learn from this storm. And again, I rely on this. Even going through the storm I'm going through. So it works. The Bible works. So we can see he's going to the storm. The first thing we see is that he tells them, in verse 35, we're going to the other side. Okay, he tells them we're going to the other side. What can we learn from this? Okay, from this passage. Number one is that the Lord Jesus brought them to the storm. He brought them there. He knew where the storm was coming. He knew what they were going to go through, and he allowed it. The storms in our lives, sometimes we don't want them, you know? But if we trust that God has our best interest, it really helps us to understand that the storms he's allowing in our lives are for our good. He's going to teach us things. We learn that he brought him to the storm. We learn that his word is true. He said, we're going to the other side. Now, the response to that is whether we're going to be have faith or we're going to fear. If we don't believe what God says, it's going to be fearful. They didn't take it to heart what he said. They didn't get it. We're going to the other side. There was no doubt. God said we're going to the other side, that they were going to go to the other side. How it benefited them, and you know what? They did get to the other side, right? But they were very fearful in that boat. Okay, they thought they were going to perish. They thought he didn't care. He didn't care. So we learn from this that the Word of God is true. And whether we believe it or not will benefit us, will really benefit us. God's word is true. That settles it. Whatever he says, whether we believe it or not, is what's going to benefit us. And whether we're going to be a man or woman of faith or a fearful Christian, one worrying about things. God's word, we rely on that. The other thing we want to learn is, was Jesus or was the storm more powerful? The storms in your life, is Jesus more powerful than those storms? He was sleeping in the back of the boat. The disciples didn't think that Jesus was more powerful, did they? Or they wouldn't have said, we're going to perish. We're going to perish. Don't you care? Jesus was more powerful than the storm. So any storms we're going through, Jesus is more powerful. He can deliver you. In Luke's gospel, he asked the question to him, where why are you so fearful? Luke records this, and he says, the Lord Jesus said to him, where is your faith? Where is your faith? So as we go through life, where is our faith? Is our faith in God and his word Or do we first look to people and our own devices? And it's going to make a huge difference. Where is your faith? And ultimately, the most important thing is, when we leave this earth, do you have faith in the Son of God? And do you know where you're going? Believe God. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And he says, you know, just like this, what a picture, right? We're going to the other side, right? He's going to take you to heaven. You believe him. Believe God. So I just wanted to share that. And they learned from this. They knew he had cast out demons. They had been with him. But they say, what manner of man is this? Even the sea and the wind obey him. Now, I do believe this was of Satan. And the reason I'll say that is when he, first of all, this storm was a Luke and I think Mark here, the words used is a hurricane. Matthew uses a word for earthquake. This was a violent storm. And Jesus said, peace, be still. And it's the same thing he said to the man possessed with a demon in Mark chapter 1. The same words, he rebuked that demon and the demon left. He rebuked the storm. He ordered the storm to stop, and it stopped. But I believe that it was a satanic attack on the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was going over to deliver this man from many, many demons. In the book of Job, Satan is allowed to bring a great storm on Job's children's house and destroy that house and kill many of Job's children. Satan was allowed to do that. We see these violent storms and stuff, and maybe, I'm not saying that they're all of Satan, but he is powerful enough to do those things. So I just wanted to bring that out. Satan is very powerful. He's not all powerful. But we'll go on to chapter 5. I just wanted to bring out some of those points. So he comes over now to the country of the Gadarenes. And I want to mention some things again about Satan. We, and I think in America, there's TV shows about him. You know, they make him out to be a character. There's movies about him. There's children dressing up as the devil on Halloween, making jokes. When I was a kid, there was a show. It was like one of those variety shows, Flip Wilson. And, he used to go, the devil made me do it, right? And everybody would laugh and laugh and laugh. Satan wants us to think that he's not really effective, that he's not really real, that he's just some character, cartoon character. He's not. He is, we're going to look at some of his characteristics. He is the enemy of God. He is powerful. He is not all powerful. He was a created being. We'll look at that. Some of his names. Satan means the adversary. The devil, slanderer. Beelzebub, the lord of the flies. He's called the dragon. He's like a roaring lion looking. He's prowling the earth looking for whom he may devour. He's a deceiver. His name was Lucifer, which means light bearer. He's a tempter. He's an accuser. He's the father of lies. He's called the evil one. He is the ruler or the prince of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ said that 3 times in John's gospel. He's the prince of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's the God of this world who's blinding the minds of those who are perishing. He is the prince of the power of the air. Okay, the air, the heavenlies. He's there. In Ephesians, it says that there's principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. If we could see the battles going on for men and women's souls, if we could see the battles going on, thank God there's good angels. The assemblies, I believe there's elect angels that watch over us. For the children, it tells us, the Lord Jesus said, their angel always sees the face of God, the face of their Father in heaven, protecting. There's a battle going on, and we don't even I know we don't even think about it much. We don't even We don't even realize what is going on in the spiritual realm. And if we could see it for a day, we would run and cling to the Lord Jesus. We would pray more. He is an evil, evil being. It says the whole world is under his sway. It's like a mom with her baby in her arms, just comfortably putting the baby to sleep. The whole world is like that. And only the gospel, only the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can open the eyes of those that are blind. The light of God's word. But I mean, we could go on a lot about this one. We're going to see a man possessed with a demon. In the New Testament, it talks about one being in an unclean spirit, or one that is possessed with a demon. It's like demonized. Two different ways to say it. Now, not everybody that's doing evil is possessed with a demon. I'm not saying that. We know that Satan actually entered into Judas Iscariot, and he went and killed himself. We know that Satan will enter into the man of sin, the man of perdition, the Antichrist, one day. But we also know that people are possessed with demons. Mary Magdalene was delivered from 7 demons. Can you imagine how tormented that poor girl must have been? She was delivered. The Lord Jesus delivered her from 7 demons. We know that no, not everybody is demon possessed, but the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, he's working in people. He can work in believers, okay? He has no power over believers, but even he put in Ananias and Sapphira's heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. We can be deceived by him. We're told not to be ignorant of his devices, so we can be ignorant of his devices. He's a schemer. He has schemes. We're going to look at what we can do to overcome this. We have, as believers, we have the ability that he has no power over us at all, unless we allow him to. But that's for the believer. But for the unbelievers, they're his goods. They're called his goods. This is a spiritual battle, and it's for the souls of men and women. I just want to look at, one of the things he's called, how we're introduced to him, is he's introduced as the serpent. That's another name. And it's in Genesis chapter 3. And I think it's worth it to look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. Genesis 3, 1 through 5, and he's called the serpent. I believe he's called the serpent again in the book of Revelation. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God really say that? Doubt. He's doing the same thing today. He wants to put in your hearts, in people's hearts, that doubt God's word. That you don't have to listen to God. He didn't really mean that, as he goes on to say. The woman says to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. What was he saying? God's lying. You're not going to die. And then he goes on to say, for God knows that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Nothing has changed. And he's putting God down, making her think God is trying to keep something from her. He says, you will be like God. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. What is going on today in this world, and it's been going on since then? I decide what's right and wrong. I'm the God of my life. I'll tell you what's right or wrong. Not God. God tells us what's right or wrong. It's right or wrong because God says it. But people say, I can decide. I can decide. It's the same thing he told Eve. And I'm a God. I can do whatever I want in my life. It's the same lie. And that's... He in Isaiah chapter 14. Look at his a couple passages in Isaiah 14, Isaiah 14, and then Ezekiel 28. It tells us the fall. It tells us the fall of Satan. It tells us what happened. It tells us about him prior to the fall, to his fall. And he's referenced as the king of Babylon and the king of Tyre. We're going to see that the spiritual realm that's out there, there's an order, demonic order in the heavenlies. And they also, he has his men over nations, his demons over nations. He himself is referred to as the king of Babylon. He himself is referred to as the king of Tyre. We have, in the book of Daniel, we have the prince of Greece, the prince of Persia. These are demons, fallen angels. The Bible, and they're real. The Lord Jesus Christ talked about the devil and his angels. The book of Revelation talks about the dragon and his angels. I believe that these are the demons we're reading about. Those are the fallen angels. But just look at Isaiah 14. I won't read all of this, just touch on a few things. But this is the fall of Lucifer. And it says in verse 9, hell from beneath is excited about you. You know, he's a angel. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. He's defeated. All right, he is defeated. His destiny in Revelation chapter 20 is the lake of fire. That's where he's going. He knows it. But this is just kind of giving an overview. It says, verse 11, your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. I just make mention of that. Stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And you shall be brought down to Shiloh, to the lower depths of the pit. This is his desire. His desire was to be, I'll be like the Most High. 2 Thessalonians tells us his desire is to sit as God in Jerusalem. That's his desire. That's what's been going on. That's what's going on in this world. His desire is to sit as God, taking the place that our Lord Jesus is going to sit in Jerusalem as the king. That's his desire. In Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 28, it's page 861 in this New King James book. And it's interesting, is Ezekiel 28, it first starts out with the prince of Tyre. He's talking about the prince of Tyre who's saying he's God, and God says, you're a man. Okay? I think there was actually a man that was the head of Tyre. Behind it was Satan. He was behind him. And that's what he's going to touch on in chapter 28, verse 12 says, thus says, son of man, take up the lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. This was Lucifer. This was when he was in the garden. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels, and pipes was prepared for you in the day you were created. I just make mention of that again. That's the percussions, the drums, the pipes, the flutes. We talked already in Isaiah about the stringed instruments. I'm going to make mention of the music in a minute, so I wanted to touch on it. They were in him when he was created. He's a musical being. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back to and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. He's a created being. Till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within you, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. He was proud. He was lifted up. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze on you. We'll stop there, but you get the point. This was this being. He's a musical being. He's in governments. We looked at that already. We read this and we see it. We marvel that governments will do some of the things they're doing. The attack on on children, the attack on marriage, make laws to attack marriage. That's all of God. The family is of God. The attacks on the family, the attacks on the men, the fathers, the husbands. In prison today, I looked at just, and I knew that it was very high. I just looked to see what the rate is for young men in prison. 75 to 80% of them did not have any dads in their lives growing up. Satan knows what he's doing. We had a friend that was in the Albany Public Schools, and I think he's retired now, and he worked, you know, not Christian at all, and he worked with troubled teens. He had a heart to try to help them. And he would even keep contact with them after they went to prison and stuff like that. So I just was wondering what he would say. So I just said to him, because I know what the answer is, but I asked him, so what's the answer? He looked at me and he goes, there is no answers. There isn't answers. I got to tell him, there is an answer. The Lord Jesus is the answer. But this is how Satan works. He's going to destroy families. He's going to destroy, and us as men, us as men here, we have failed. Men have failed. I see so many homes where there's no dad. It is Satan doing this. He's behind this. They make laws so it's better for you. You get more money if you don't get married. This is what they do. Who's behind all this? What he does to children, the abortions, killing children. We have laws passed that we kill children. We're allowing medical procedures on children without even their parents even knowing about it, to mutilate their body. They'll never be able to produce and have children. It is 20 years ago, we wouldn't even believe this stuff was happening. These are laws that are put in. There's an evil one behind these things. And we need to reach these kids for Christ. Why? You can't get God in the schools anymore, right? I was talking to somebody the other day, they were trying to work with kids in the school. You can't discipline them, and you can't tell them about God. It's like, it's not going to work. You know, they lock the doors and let the kids run around the hallway so he doesn't run outside. And then they bribe him with, I'll give you McDonald's if you behave. This is all Satan's system. It's so anti-God. All right, sorry. I want to get to this portion here, and we're obviously not going to cover chapter 5 completely, but I want to bring out some points here. These are, you know, I read it in the Bible. I always told Bill this, you know, I'm reading it in the Bible and I see it. I see it and I read it. Okay, we're going to talk about this man called Legion. So the Lord Jesus comes into the country. Verse 2, he comes on a ship immediately. There was a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. He's possessed with a demon, or I think many demons. He had his dwelling place in the tombs. Go to the graveyard, right? The cemetery. This is where this man lived. No man can bind him, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. That's chains on his feet and on his hands. And the chains, he plucked them asunder. The fetters were broken in pieces. No one could tame them. It is really an epidemic of mental disorders. I'm not ever going to minimize somebody that actually has a mental problem, and some of the drugs they give them do help. But I think a lot of it is spiritual. I believe a lot of it is spiritual. I was walking in the park the other day, and there was some of the folks, there was like a group home, mentally disabled people, and you know, your heart breaks for them, you know, you try to talk a little bit. But I'm walking, and then there was these two young men, and they were big. They were strong men, and they're running, and I'm listening to a message about demons, and good angels and demons, and they come running, and they startled me, and they were like, the laugh. You know, my heart broke for them, but I was also a little scared. They were like hyenas laughing, and they were just running hard. And then they'd run around me again, and I was like, I don't know. I mean, I've run into people, and I'm not sure. I think some of them have been possessed with demons. Their hatred of the Lord Jesus, the things they say, I don't know. I don't know, but we know that this does happen. This man was tormented. He was tormented. I'll say this too. It wasn't a camp that we're associated with at all, but I know a man that was at a teen camp, a good friend of mine, and there was a girl that was possessed with a demon. She had prayed. She didn't want to leave. She lived in England. Her parents were moving to the United States, and she didn't want to go. Her and her friends prayed to Satan to help. This is a fact. She was possessed with a demon. They said that the voices that were coming out of her, they'd never heard anything like that. There was one dominant voice. And the dominant voice was telling the people that were... And this girl was trying to kill herself. And they were praying and praying and praying. And they were delivered. But the demon said, I'm going to get your children. And he named the people's children. They are real. They are real. I'm not saying this for any you know, shock or anything like that. They are real. They hate us. They hate us. We should flee to the Lord Jesus. This man, tormented, night and day, he's in the mountains, he's in the tombs, and he's cutting himself in stones. Again, I don't even like talking about this stuff, but it was in cutting themselves. Nancy and I went to a young lady's graduation. It was a nice hot day like this. It was over in Grafton, I forget where it was, some park. And so she had a skirt on, she had a short sleeve top on. And we knew that she was a cutter. They call it cutters, right? To see her arms and her legs, the scars. I can imagine this man had the same thing. And that's people that have, you know, it's they're inside, they're so hurting. It's an outward manifestation. Okay? We see who's behind these things. Satan. I mean, this poor girl, I can see the scars of the torment that she must be going through. Nancy gave her a gospel in John. I was thankful for that. But this man cutting himself, in the years 2008, 2009, there was like an epidemic, I don't know what word to use, of Schenectady High School, of young girls cutting themselves. Young girls trying to commit suicide, young girls that did commit suicide. Finally, it got national attention because the school didn't want it to be known. These young girls were being bullied by gangs to join their gang. They were tormented. One of the girls wrote this. It was in her diary. This is my life. Sometimes I'm mad at the world. Sometimes I'm just sad. Nobody can see the pain behind my eyes. She took her own life. Satan is a murderer. He entered into Judas Iscariot, and Judas Iscariot went out and killed himself. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He destroys lives. They're cutting themselves, committing suicide. And I'm not saying any of them are possessed with demons, but they don't know that there's something better. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But who's behind it? This evil one. He hates them. And so, what are we to do? This demon, he sees Jesus, the man possessed with a demon in verse 6. I wonder what the disciples thought about this, right? They go through this storm, they get over there, they see this man naked. He was naked. I don't know if Mark says that. No, he wouldn't allow anybody to pass by. They couldn't control him. He was crying out, shrieking, cutting himself, living in the tombs, and he comes running to Jesus. I wonder what the disciples thought, right? But then what do they think when it says he worshipped him? And I don't know if the demons worshipped him, but they bowed down. They bowed down. Now, this man, we're going to see, he's kind of like a split personality, too. Sometimes it's the man talking, sometimes it's the demons talking. And we learn from this, though, you know, take this. Those of us who are believers have Christ by His Spirit living in us. When demons encountered the Lord Jesus, they, one, confessed that He is the Son of God. Two, like this, they were submissive to Him. Three, they begged for mercy. They begged for mercy. They said, don't send us to the abyss. They know where they're going. And the Lord Jesus had total power over him. They had no power over him. So remember that. That's why when it says in the Bible, draw near to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. He is not going to come near. The Lord Jesus, if you're drawn near to the Lord Jesus Christ, the spirit that's in you is greater than the spirit in the world. They have no control over you. They fear. The Bible says they believe and they tremble. They tremble. They fear him. He, the creator. And so, yes, this is a sobering message. This is can be scary. Don't dabble in these things. Tarot cards, psychic readings and stuff. Please don't do it. Verse 7, they cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Son of the Most High God?" And then they begged him not to torment him. And Luke says, don't send me to the abyss yet. They know where they're headed. Ultimately, the lake of fire. Jesus says, come out of the man, the unclean spirit. They ask, why? What is thy name? And he answers, my name is Legion. So he says, my name is Legion. And then he says, we are men. The Legion, Roman, there were 6,000, over 6,000 men. I don't know if this man was possessed with 6,000 demons, but Legion is a large number. Verse 10, he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. And Luke says, not to send me to the abyss. Now, there was, I just want to say, in Matthew's gospel, it mentions that it mentions two demon-possessed men, and it says they were exceedingly fierce. Exceedingly fierce. That word means savage, rugged, ferocious, dangerous. That word is only used, the Greek word is only used twice in the Bible. The other time is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says at the end times, perilous times shall come. Exceedingly fierce times shall come. I think we're living in it. And it goes on to say a whole bunch of things that men are like. Lovers of money, boasters, disobedient, making believe, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of. And it goes on to list characteristics of the last day. And it's the same characteristics that this man has. They besought him. So now there was, verse 11, there was in the mountains a great herd of swines feeding. And all the demons, they begged Jesus. Right? They're begging for mercy. Send us into the swine and we might enter into them. Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. And there was about 2,000. People talk about this like, oh, you know, what about this pigs? You know, Jesus wasn't too nice what Jesus did to the pigs. Some say, well, they were an unclean animal to the Jewish people at that time. I don't know. I think that the Lord is showing us a picture here of what the demons are like. When the demons went into the pigs, they ran violently down into the sea and drowned. This is. I think he's showing, you know, the torment that these demons can produce. That's the same word that was used for the men with Stephen back in Acts chapter 7. We won't turn there. They are questioning Stephen, and he's going from the scriptures and he's showing them all about the Lord Jesus and how the whole scriptures were speaking of this. They were so mad, the men, the religious men, they plugged their ears and they ran violently at Stephen and stoned him. They killed him. They murdered him. It's the same word that these pigs, they ran down violently into the sea and drowned. It's the characteristic of saying, we see this going on in this world, right? Some of the things people do to other people, we can't even imagine. How can somebody do that? Who's behind it? The evil one, the murderer, the thief, the destroyer. He's energizing them to do these things. And I think God is showing us in this passage, by the swine running down, violently into the sea and drowning. All the people came out in verse 14 to see what happened. They came, verse 15, they came to Jesus. They beheld him that was possessed with the demon. So here's a man that they couldn't tame, that was tormenting them night and day. He was tormented. He was tormenting them. I think it's Matthew's gospel says that he wouldn't allow anybody to pass by. And to see this man in the condition that he's in now. They see this man who's called Legion sitting. He's clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Something at least, like the disciples, when Jesus calmed the storms, they were fearful. I mean, you're in the presence of Almighty God. But they were afraid, it says. They didn't say they were rejoicing. They were glad this man was delivered. It doesn't say that. They saw it, told them how it befell. They that saw it told them what had happened to the possessed with the devil and concerning the swine. And they began to pray him, talking to Jesus. So what did so they see what Jesus just did for this man. What do they say? We want him out of here. We don't want you here. They were probably more interested in the money for the swine. I don't know. But isn't that something? Today we see men and women, drunkards, getting saved and being changed. People that are a terror to society, and they get saved, and now they're a blessing. And what do people do? What do your friends do? I don't want to be around you anymore. It's like, really? This is crazy. You're now an asset to society, but we don't want you. That's good for you, but you kind of ruin our parties now, so please don't come around. They told Jesus to leave. Verse 18, when he was coming to the ship, he that was possessed with the demon prayed him that he might be with him. So now this man wants to be with Jesus. The other ones don't want him. He wants to be with them. But Jesus said to him, go home and tell your friends how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. I think it's in Luke's Gospel. He says, go tell them great things God has done unto you. And he departed and began to publish in the capitals how great things Jesus had done for him. He understood who Jesus was. He was the Lord. He was God. And, for us, we're saved. It would be great to be saved and go home to heaven. But the Lord says, no, not yet. Go. Tell your friends. Tell your family what great things the Lord has done unto you. That's still our commission, is to do that. We don't see the Lord Jesus ever coming back to this area. He was there. Power was there to save those people. We don't know what happened to them. They didn't want him. They didn't want him. Don't take for granted. If the Lord is working in your heart, and you don't know the Lord, and he's working in your heart, today's the day of salvation. He might not speak to you again. He's not under any obligation to do that. But please, I touched on, I do have, I don't know if this is really going to fit in, but I want to touch on this because music was a big thing in my life. And he's in social media. Be careful on those phones. Satan is there in social media. Very easy. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's in the government. He's in the schools. There's teachers at universities. Their whole purpose in life is not to teach the kids whatever class they're in. It's to destroy their faith. He's there. And they'll even say it. They even target Christians. He's in the music industry, big time. Nancy won't even watch anymore. I don't even want to watch it anymore. They sold their souls to rock and roll. And how dark it was. Music is a good thing, right? Music, David sung. Music, we play music. I'm not down on music. Be careful. It's a very, very powerful medium. And when I was a kid, I remember I used to listen to AC/DC. I used to listen to all those bands. AC/DC, and I remember exactly where I was. I remember exactly where I parked. To this day, I was 17 years old. And I'm singing along with AC/DC saying, I'm on a highway to hell. And I'm singing it. And all of a sudden, it was the Lord spoke to me. I still remember it today. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I saying? And I'm like, okay, just forget about it, right? It wasn't until I got saved I threw out all that music. I did throw it all out. It was even my albums I threw out. I put them in a dumpster. That hurt. I loved those albums. But I said, I got to get rid of these things. One of the bands that I listened to a lot, of course, was the Rolling Stones. And this song, I want to read the song, the words to some of this song, Sympathy for the Devil. I'm telling you, he's mocking us. He's mocking us. And this is Mick Jagger singing as the first person is Lucifer. This is what he's singing. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. I know people that go to like psychics and tarot card readers and stuff, and they're like, well, they tell me about my things that nobody else knew. And they're telling me, oh, my sister's in a good place and all that. And I'm like, what do you think Satan would tell you? Would he tell you that your sister's in hell? No. He's going to tell you she's in a good place. How does he know what about things? He's been around a long, long time. Look what he says. And he's lying about this. But he says, I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Of course, he didn't have doubt. But this is Satan, Lucifer, singing through Mick Jagger. Made damn sure Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. What is puzzling you is the nature of my game. In the song, he tells you what the nature of his game is. He says, I've stole many a man's soul and faith. This is the nature of his game. And he's mocking. He's saying, "That's what's confusing you is the nature of my game." He says, I stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers, and Anastasia screamed in vain. That was the youngest daughter. That was in 1917, the Russian Revolution. He's saying, I was there. I killed the Tsar, his ministers. I rode a tank, held the general's rank when the Blitzkrieg, I think that's how you say it, raged and the body stank in World War II. He's saying, I was there. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. Oh, yeah. What's puzzling you is the nature of my game. I watched with glee with your kings and queens fought for 10 decades for the gods they made. I shouted out, who killed the Kennedys? Speaking of Robert and John Kennedy. Well, after all, it was you and me. Let me introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste, and he goes on. A buddy of mine, I used to listen to this. I used to sing this. And a buddy of mine, he was singing this and stuff, and I thought, this is just, they're just playing with it. They're just playing. They're just shocking people. I'm like, the nature of his game is to steal your soul. He's telling you that. So I just wanted to share that, and he's real, but just as the Lord delivered that man, promises in Romans 16 and 20 is that he will shortly crush Satan's head under their feet. I'll read it. I might. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, is our Lord Jesus. He took on. He became partakers of flesh and blood. He says, for then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him by the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Colossians tells us that on the cross, because the wages of sin is death, right? The fear of death. I mean, that was one of the main things that led me to Christ. I was afraid to die. What's going to happen? So it's a good thing to fear. Okay, but as a believer, death now is just a doorway opening to something far better. But the Lord Jesus, Satan, had the power of death. The wages of sin is death. God could not sweep our sin under the rug. He couldn't do it. So he went to the cross and died for us. And every sin, everything that was against us was nailed to that cross. And he took that sin. And he triumphed over them, it says. The wicked spirits. I better read it and forget. Mess it up. Sorry. I have it memorized. When you're standing up here sometimes, you don't remember. He said that. Chapter 2. He took that, nailing it to the cross, and he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Worst thing was the biggest victory. Christ took our place. He died on that cross, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. It says he came to destroy. The Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. He won the victory. Now we can have it. So we're told to be sober, be vigilant, pay attention. What's going on? We need to be intelligent. We're told not to be ignorant, and we're told to draw near to God. Resist the devil, he will flee. So it's real. It's in the scriptures. I don't want you to be terrified. Be aware of what's going on. Be intelligent. And the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is what delivers people from him. He's called the power of darkness. Can you imagine dying in your sins? Can you imagine that this is it? Terrible. He delivers you from the power of darkness and translates you to the kingdom of the Son of His love. What a salvation. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, which tells us the truth. Father, help us to be put on that whole armor of God. Father, you've provided this for us. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and shod our feet with the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Taking the helmet of salvation and the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching for all the saints with all perseverance and supplication. This is how we overcome Him. Help us to remember to put on that whole armor of God, to pray for one another, pray for souls. Lord, I just lift up this VBS coming up, Father. I pray for the children. Don't let them be hindered from coming. I pray you hedge this place. Pray that Layton, Brother Layton, and all of us will have the Word of God will have free course, that souls will be saved. Keep the evil from this place, Father. We pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the victory. Thank you for the work you've accomplished, doing the will of your Father, taking our sins, and each of us that know you can say, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for your Son. In his all-worthy name we pray, blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.